ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
So, let's look at Kingdom Wealth Planning today. Yeah, thank you, media, for helping us out. Kingdom wealth planning. Kingdom wealth. Kingdom wealth. We've run this series. This is the fifth aspect that Reverend Dr. Shola Kolade taught us. He told us about five aspects. So we looked at purpose of kingdom wealth. We looked at priorities. We've looked at what are the other things we've looked at? Perspectives. So the fourth one last week was what? I deliberately kept quiet. So I want to know whether we are Sunday believers. Huh? Yeah. Pursuit. Pursuit. How to pursue it. How to pursue it. Please, when we teach, don't get used to what we teach. Be like the Berean Christians. So sometimes if I come here now and say Mark 26, don't just wrap Mark 26. Because there is no Mark 26. So when you get home, you can check whether there is Mark 26. Or while I'm talking, you say, no, there is no Mark 26. Don't just eat everything like Indomie. Be able to sieve. Be able to see things. Don't just hear. And you don't get everything at the first hearing. Bible says faith comes by hearing. And then hearing by the word of the Lord. So you generally hear. But you also hear by reason of study. Praise God. The Bible is the Logos. It's God's divine blueprint to us. But when you begin to study and meditate, it becomes rhema to you. God's word spoken to you in your own particular instance. Anger rests in bosom of fools. That is there. That's the Logos. But if you want to apply that, as you begin to say, meditate on it, anger. What is anger? How does it work? So, I found myself to be getting angry. Am I a fool? So when you engage such thoughts, that's what is called meditation. So meditation is not the things that is practices that are practiced by Eastern religion. You think through, you pause. Are there scriptures who talks about anger? You run commentary on them. That's how to meditate in the Word of God. So you expand your frame of reference. And then you, because that's what repentance is. I thought on my way, and I made a complete turn. So, the next time, I won't get angry again. Because I'm not a fool. So, you hold a line and a thought. And bet you with me, immediately you finish studying, you will see someone who will get you upset. Because the devil will want to prove the word. So you can't afford to lose it. So if you meditate to the point where your resolution begins to be the things you want to do, so when somebody gets you upset, you suddenly remember, I'm not a fool. Whatever this person is saying, I mean, that's the way the mind also works. It's an opinion. You are a buffoon. That's just somebody's opinion. But by the time I said, I'm a buffoon, you are a gorilla. I've confirmed what he said. So meditation is, then you even if you lose it a little bit, you easily jack yourself. You say, I'll do better the next time. You go over it again. That's why Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So you will meditate in it, and not in what somebody has said. You will meditate in it day and night. That's not the end. He said that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. When you do that it way, you observe to do. He said, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. That's how to engage the word. You read it, you meditate it, and you make a resolve, and then you practice it. You practice it. It's of no use if you just read the word or you hear somebody preach it and you don't engage the word by meditating and then by observing to do. It says, if we act that way, we will be like someone who looks at his face in a natural mirror. And immediately, that's what James 1 says, immediately forgets the manner of man that he is. So we must engage the word of God. In Jeremiah 42, I believe, verses 5 and 6, he said, it's not a vain thing. These words are not vain things. This is our very life. It's our very life. It's our very life. We can't separate our life if we are believers. We cannot separate our thoughts, our actions, our beliefs from the word of God. No, we can't. That's the very things that we live on. That's the life, that the breath that we take. For sustenance of life, the word of God is powerful. The word of God can change our lives. It can change any situation around us. So we must learn to meditate upon it day and night. It talks about consistency. We must meditate on it diligently. And then we must engage it to the point of observing to do. Observing to do. Observing to do. All that is written therein, if we do this, then we can make our way prosperous, and then we can have good success. Praise God. So we've looked at all these things. We're talking about, that very first Sunday that Dr. Kolade started there, he talked about the fact that he preached on prelude to abundance. And he said something that prelude is what goes before something more important occurs. And we have said that in the body of Christ, the problem that we have generally is a problem of maintaining balance. In the body of Christ, we don't maintain balance. So when there is a teaching, when there is a move, the tendency to move to the extremes are very high. But we must maintain balance. And when it comes to subject of wealth creation in the kingdom of God, what has come upon us over the move was a question of excesses, which has led to imbalances, which has led to covetousness and the greed that we have witnessed in the body of Christ. God is a wealthy God, but God also expects us to understand how he operates his own economy. So we looked at that word at that time, the purpose, the perspective, the priority, the pursuits, and then the last one is the planning. And that's what I want to just do in a couple of minutes. The planning. If we can't finish it, then we continue. It's an everlasting gospel. My desire is for you to just understand what we teach by time, and then apply it to your life. Psalm 24, I like to start with this subject of planning. Kingdom wealth planning, excuse me. Psalm 24. This is a very important scripture, Psalm 24. It said, the heart is the Lord's, and all its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. Let's read to the end. It says, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. And then he asked the question, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? and who may stand in his holy place. And then he spread out the qualification. He who has clean hands and pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He said, this is Jacob, that he is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Selah. Selah means, anywhere you read it, especially in the book of Psalms, it means horse. Think through this statement. So, what we have read before this verse 6 is literally saying, pause. Consider closely. Think through. See what you can learn from it. But he now says, so, Selah, between what you learn and then how you are supposed to operate. Lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting door. The King of glory shall come in. The question from whoever is asking that question, maybe basically the mountain, the limitation, is asking the question, who is this King of glory? And then there was a response. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. He said, lift up your head, O you gate. Lift up, you everlasting door. And the King of glory, come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Then he says, Selah again. This psalm of David, I want to divide it into two. The first one is the mindset concerning wealth. Do you know that if you have a right perspective towards that first verse, the heart is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the people and all that dwells in it. That verse simply suggests that when someone in career understands that the heart is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, someone in business understands that the heart is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, when it comes to opportunities, when it comes to getting new clients, when it comes to promotion, when it comes to increase, when it comes to enlargement, everything with that person who has covenant with God, everything has a source from God. Can I have an amen this morning? It is when we don't understand that we become anxious. If we understand that the heart is the Lord and the fullness, God knows where the opportunities are. God knows where the clients are. God knows where the new things that he wants you to expand into are. God knows the place where you are. He knows the place where he has designed for you. And he can literally take your hands and walk you right through into what he has ordained for you in career and in business. The heart is the Lord's. There's another scripture that says, the heart of kings is in God's hands. And just like he ordered the course of a river, so he turns it to his own will. The heart of kings, I believe that's Proverbs 21:1. The heart of kings. So if you also understand that, whoever you are trying to serve in business, their heart is in God's hands. And as God ordered the course of a river, he can order their heart towards you to patronize you. Can I have an amen this morning? Amen. There's another scripture. Proverbs 22:29. See thou a man who is diligent in his work. He will not serve ordinary men, he will serve kings. So, as a business person, if you also understand that, you know that if you are diligent in your work, you are given to serve improvement, you cannot be ordinary on planet Earth. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, I just want to lay this foundation. That the understanding that the universe belongs to God, that is the source of true wealth, and he knows you, he knows your company, he knows your career path, he knows where the opportunity has, is the key to planning your way in kingdom wealth. When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. When the source of a thing is not known, struggle continues, like we say in our world. So, let's read a couple of scriptures. Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Let me just establish this again. Psalm 50. I read now from the New Living Translation, verses 7 to 15. He said, "Oh, my people, listen, for I am your God. Listen, here are my charges against you." He said, "I have no complaint about the sacrifices you bring to my altar, for you bring them regularly." There are things we just do out of just maybe duty, religious duty. God says he has no complaint about those things. "But it isn't sacrificial bullocks and goats that I really want from you." What does he want from us? "For all the animals of field and forest are mine." Can you see him being the source? "The cattle on a thousand hills." Have you read that before in your Bible? God holds the cattle on a thousand hills. You know that if you just sell her there, he didn't talk about how many are on each of those hills. He didn't say a thousand cattle on a thousand hills. I just want you to sell on that a little bit. That this God that we are in covenant with, it's a worthy God, much more than we can ask or imagine. He said he holds them. He said, "For the cattle on a thousand hills and all the birds upon the mountains." Now you see again, it doesn't mention how many. For those of us who are given to nature, I'm sure that in your lifetime you have seen species of birds. Sometimes, if you watch Animal Planet, sometimes are yellow, some are yellow-green, some are with beak, some are without beak, some are ugly-looking. But the Bible says God holds all the birds on the mountains. Verse 12 says, "If I were hungry," that should help our mindset concerning giving. God says, in case he's hungry, he said, "I will not mention it to you. For all the world is mine and everything in it." He said, "No, I don't need your sacrifices of flesh and blood. What I want from you is your true thanks. I want your promises fulfilled. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory." Can I have an amen this morning? That's something we need to understand. Everything belongs to God. He said, "The world and the fullness thereof." The heart belongs to God. The people and all who dwells in it belongs to God. So, when we understand that this that we are seeing, that we don't see, belongs to God, it will help our perspective towards kingdom wealth. And it will help us to develop what the Bible describes as stewardship mentality. A steward does not own anything, but a steward is given in charge of the master's treasure according to his capacity to handle things. So, capacity must be developed. The heart is the law. So, when you look at all the things that are there as wealth, tangible and intangible, it means God expects us to grow in capacity. And he expects us to grow in thanksgiving. What we have most of the time is that human beings, we have the tendency to complain a lot. Even let's even talk about the subject of money, since it seems to be a medium of exchange. I have never met anyone who says, "I don't need money again." I've not. Go and ask the people we tag as the richest people in the world. They are still taking loans every day. They are still taking loans. They still want to do more. Your own need may be different from theirs, but I've never seen anyone who says, I have all that I need. So that means both tangible and intangible wealth is not the work of any man. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. My friend is here this morning, Pastor Steve Akoni, from the First Assembly, up by here. I need to pause. He was my best man on my wedding day 25 years ago. So you know how long I've known him. Praise God. Pastor Steve, thank you for joining in our service today. So God's blessing, managing God's word biblically, calls for wisdom in planning. And that's the message this morning. We don't own anything. God owns all. And when we develop capacity in response to him in our covenant relationship, then he gives us portions. 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 It's called inheritance. Praise God. You know, people still argue about tenth. What God deals with is portion. It's called inheritance. So when you understand it, then it gives you portion. Let me remind you, for those of you who went to boarding school, you know there's something that is called money portion. In retrospect, I just realized that it's to keep our school environment clean. So in the morning, your schoolmaster, you are expected to go cut the grass. So you have what is called a portion. A portion. From the beginning of the term to the end of the term, you keep that portion. They inspect it. It's the same way. God is a wealthy God. But he has portions. And he's looking for people to allocate these portions to. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, we need his wisdom. Even when you have is your own portion, you can recognize your own portion. You need his wisdom to plan. You need his wisdom, God's wisdom to plan. In all that you do, you need his wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall surely direct your path. My own translation says, it says, if you want favor with both God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, which is not common, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. That's the word of the Lord. So, God's blessings of wealth is usually obtained through great wisdom, responsibilities through discipline, hard work, saving, investing or investment, multiplying, and then seeking God's will on the heart. I listed those things. So, if you want wealth biblical way, you must arm yourself with the keys of wisdom, responsibility through discipline, it's called delayed gratification, hard work, because the Bible is so full of it. Whoever will not work, let him not eat. And believing God, let it translate into work. And like I said, in one of my own sessions, it's not just saying smart work. No, you start from hard work. You start from hard work. Then you fail through some of those moves. And then you will now be smart enough to know what doesn't work. That's why it's called smart work today. But the ones who inherit it, they have failed over and over again in hard work. Work doesn't kill. Work is given to expose our potentials. Whoever does not work must not eat. Even when you are eating, it's like gravel in your mouth. Have you seen lazy people? No. No one is lazy here, but I'm just telling you the principle of God. God is a worker. He works 6 days and rested just only one day. He doesn't rest 6 days and work one day. For you to graduate into that, hey, you must have failed. You must have something that has generated things for you that you can say, I want to work only one day a week. It's just like what people say. I've seen it on social media around here. Let me not get down. I still want to preach this message. I've seen it in social media. They say, after all, Bigge drops out of school. Or Kinikon drop out of school. If you go to Onigbele University, it's different from Abado. Don't deceive yourself. Dropping from school, where Bigge dropped, is different from dropping from school. I don't know if you understand my drift. If you drop from school here, you will write jump again. Because nobody has your record anywhere. Because it shows, each time you want to take passport, you have to bring fresh record. You want to do driver's license, you have to. If you go to any school to get transcript, you have to be ready to pay. That's how good the system is. So don't say, begin out of school. Ah, Oyato, it's different. My brothers, my sisters. We can't encourage people to drop out of school. You have to study hard as a student. You have to. The universities, the way they are rated now, it's as if we don't go to university. So, hard work. Then when the thing begins to generate savings, when you save to invest, you don't save to consume. I hope I'll be able to do something today. Just give me 10 minutes more. I think I'll be able to do it. And then when the thing begins to grow, you now multiply. That's biblical wealth. You know what is miracle, 24-7 miracle, 12 hours miracle? I don't understand it. God is a gradualist. When a woman receives seed, it takes 9 months. If it comes before 9 months, it's premature. I'm not saying God can't do something 24 hours, but see, can I say something to you today? This hard work thing. I'm serious. You don't have business going to church during the week. Monday morning prayer. Tuesday morning prayer. Thursday, if I'm your employer, I will fire you. Like I said, I mean, let's see. Christians are supposed to be the best workers. When they say prize giving day anywhere, Christians are supposed to get it. No promotion, Christian must get. You can't be a believer, eh? And you say you want to resign, and they say, Bawulenlo. No. They should negotiate it. They should, because you are valuable. They should. So hard work, when you have done through the many things you suffer, it now results into smart work. You know what can drain your energy. You know what you want to give yourself to. You don't have time to waste anymore. Because you understand your purpose. You are a man and a woman on a mission. Anywhere you pass, whether you walk, whether you sleep, whether you pass through, they must know that you pass through. Everywhere I've walked, they know I pass through. He is here. They know he passed through. Because one way or the other, our path has crossed in our journey of life. I can't go to where I worked before and they're asking me, what am I looking for? No. No. Because it's stewardship mentality. That's what I want to get across. So, hard work, saving, investment, multiplication, and then seeking God's will on the heart. It's very crucial. We can't be working and be struggling just to meet needs. No, we must understand his mind. And if you want to understand the mind of God, you know what Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4 says? Let's read that first. Arabs of God. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. He said, don't be envious. Well, let's read from verse 1. if that is what you want to help out. He said, don't be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. Verse 2, he said, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talks of troublemaking. Verse 3, but true wisdom, a business is built, a marriage is built, a house is built. A house represents an enterprise. True wisdom, an enterprise is built, and by understanding, it is established. And then by knowledge, the rooms are filled. No scanty. So when we access his wisdom, when we access his knowledge, when we access his understanding, we can build anything that is enduring on the earth. There's one Yoruba word, and I will interpret it. Akimbolonsho. Kagbadanu. Which simply means you can't trade with God and run at a loss. Your life is an investment. Everything he has given us, skill, talent, ability, experiences, is an investment. You are a stock in the hand of God. And you are listed in our world. You can't run this life at a loss. That's why I said, the church, we have problem with balance. So we've reduced this thing to just money only. It's more than money. It's a life of influence. Wealth of God. Most of it are even intangible. The breath that you breathe. What you are looking to hand to the next person. They are intangible. You can mentor someone. You can speak into their life. You can encourage them. A management trainee. You can hold their hand and walk them through the ladder of their career success. What is biblical word for? I need to bring it back again. Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40. Matthew 25, 35 to 40. He said, for when I was hungry, can you see? When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous, didn't say the non-believers, the one who has right standing with God, we ask that simple question. Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you? Or thirsty, and we gave you drink. Look at the response of the Lord. Or we see you as a stranger, or take you in naked, and we clothe you. And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? What did the Lord say? And the king, capital K, didn't say King Charles. Capital A, we answer and say to them, as surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did this to one of the least of these my brethren, that is again the current world system. Everybody just wants to acquire. And then when they acquire, the percentage that is dedicated to good works, you'll be shocked. I'm not against the monarch, but when I saw what they were sitting on this last week, I'm sorry. No wonder. Then before you travel, please, if you have to travel, you have to look at it. You have to look at it critically. Critically well. Because people literally slave to pay tax in those systems. It's a capitalist system. It's a selfish system. It's a Lebanon spirit system. So have a plan. I'm going there to upscale myself. United Kingdom is not heaven. United States of America is not heaven. Netherlands or all these beautiful places, it should also tell us that there is more for the believer. It's a perspective. It's a perspective. The heart is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, whatever God has helped us to acquire, this is one of the reasons why we are acquiring it. The second, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Let's just put it in perspective. God is going to, in fact, I will express my desire very soon. What I want for all of us as a pastor. oil and gas ni owo epo and it's not bunkering that you are able to mine. What I want for us as a people, because the harvest is plenteous, is those in tech services, you just do something that has to do with intellectual property. And bubuwa mama low, just like this iPhone. What I want, for those of you, you know it's called real estate or real estate. It's for you to be selling Highland. And be arguing with agent and no money left. No, that's you do such things with rest. You do it with rest. Hey, but we have to start from somewhere. It's for us to have these things in proper perspectives. I've expressed that desire before God again today. And I'm going to know, I know in my lifetime, I will have people here who understand this principle. Look at what it says. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. You know where we started? The heart is this, Psalm 24. And the full, the word and the fullness thereof, everyone who lives in it. He said, all authority has been given to me. All authority is not given to Okija Shrine. So you can't go and make money by Yahoo Plus. This is not, you can't even, you can't do one chance business. If you understand it, brothers, sisters, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And go, therefore, so when we go with wealth. We go to villages and do glaucoma surgery with a mobile clinic. We go. That's the goal. That's the goal. It's not crusade only. But also, isoji, go. Therefore, we have no option but to go. Because, I mean, there was a question in Isaiah, who will go for us? And what was Isaiah's response? He said, here I am. So if I can't go physically, my treasure, my relationship, my skill should be able to go. So those who gain God's wealth must also gain great responsibility to take care of that wealth. So along with this, you take care of your family, you take care of the less fortunate, and then you take care of his work, the church, the mission, you take care of it. You may not be able to go to Banjul, Senegal, but that's why one of the things that is uppermost in my heart now, even for us as a people, is to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Learn to be led. Don't take steps because it's a common thing to do. No. Don't make decisions because that's the way they do it. Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit? This is the way they do this thing, but what will you have me do in this particular situation? And it might use you to change the narrative. And that's what he wants to do. So planning will demand that we create systems in our lives that will help us perpetuate God's wealth. In other words, what God wants is an enduring wealth. Wealth that is portable. Wealth that can be transferred. I mean, the Bible talks about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was rich in cattle, in gold. He had servants. But there was something that happened. Because that's the way the world has always run. The world runs in cycles. They call it economic cycle. So Abraham bequeathed all that he had to Isaac. Abraham migrated. So when time turned, Isaac came on the scene with the reins of leadership. So the cycle came around and there was famine. And the natural response from Isaac is to migrate. Or was to migrate. And God says no. Because why? Famine had wiped all that Abraham bequeathed to Isaac. But there was something that was bequeathed to Isaac that is not tangible. And God says, no, stay in this land. But not, that's not the instruction. He wasn't folding his hand. He said, but dig. So he dug about four wells. So it was progressive. So biblical word is also progressive. So you start from not enough. Eh? So just enough. And then, oh, enough, Abi. Just enough. But Congo rice in shape. See, oh, let me. It's about three or four streams. Not enough, just enough, then more than enough. But even at just enough, God expects you to keep His word. He says, Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "Is the Lord God who gives you power to get well, that He may establish the covenant, which He swear to your fathers." He said, what is that covenant? Genesis 12:2. He said, He will bless you so that you can be a blessing. That's the whole essence of this thing. He makes you a steward so that you can be a blessing to other people. That's the covenant. He didn't bless us to keep to ourselves. So even at not enough, He expects you to share with other people. Not enough. I told you two weeks ago, how in the environment that we grew up, because it's against what is happening in our world today, which is selfishness. They were not rich, but they won't cook a meal without cooking for extra mouth. So they don't hide food. So when they are cooking, at least in our own house, and I know in many people's houses here, my mother will cook extra meat that can feed three or four people. Just in case somebody walks in. And if nobody walks in, they give to a neighbor. I know things are different. But hey, they didn't go to school. So there's no problem that somebody is running after them like we are afraid now. They just share. It's a community thing. Somebody goes to farm. And that's what Paul was referring to, the Macedonian believer. Even in their own needs, they were still able to share with other people. Somebody goes to the farm. And it can bring vegetable to somebody who is elderly in their neighborhood. Bring orange. So it's not so much about the quantity, but the heart that comes with it. The recognition that whatever we have belongs to God. And we have the duty of care to share with other people. So not enough, just enough, and then more than enough. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough is you. I heard this some years ago about a particular person in our nation. I use God cover his name. He paid for the entire salary of about two states of the workers. Yeah. Is that not more than enough? It's more than enough. I know somebody else who went to somewhere in East Africa and there was wind and they were using tents like ours like this. For a program. And the wind took everything. And the Lord spoke to his heart. It was the speaker there. He said, give them another tent. But that person must be living in more than enough, Abby. You see, we must leave that mindset that Christianity, sobriety, in Christianity, righteousness or conservativeness is synonymous with Christianity. It is, but that is synonymous. Is more synonymous with poverty. This one that, let me just be okay, is poverty mentality. I will say it to you in all honesty. I won't hide it from you. You can't just be okay because somebody will soon climb over your fence to come and meet you and you know that you are not okay. We can't live ordinary life because we are not ordinary. We must seek God. We are in covenant with Him. God must be able to unfold things into our hands and then gives us responsibilities. I know one elderly woman, he's still alive. He's about 80-something now. He mentioned to me one day, you just walk up to some of these people, very wealthy man. But he will tell you that he doesn't have, as at that time, it's been years now, that he doesn't have a millionaire in his account anytime. Because the mandate is that if he's running a project, before he submits his proposal, he says to God, see, what figure do you want us to put here? you know that, okay, so what figure do you want out of this? So there are some people who are trying to get the same job. They even said they know this and this. But me, I know you. So how do we go about it? And God instructs him, and then he puts him. His bid goes through. But he has a relationship with God. Some of you would have seen Gideon Bibles in some of these are hotel. You have seen it in prison. So any portion that is God's portion, they use it to place Bible. Nkombe, what is the perspective? So we can't just be saying, we want to be okay, we want to be okay. It's much more than that. There are a lot of things we can do. There are a lot of things we can do. There is a lot. Maybe I should stop now. Let me just stop for today. We continue. It's an everlasting gospel. Before I was born, they've been preaching it. If Jesus tarry after I've gone, they will still be preaching it. And it's an everlasting truth. But I believe with those few words of mine today, I've been able to convince you again, not confuse you. There is kingdom wealth. There is kingdom wealth. And we can do it. We can have more than enough when we understand how this covenant works. It's rooted on our personal relationship with God. God knows 5,000 in your hand is different from 5,000 in the hands of a drug addict. So when you can see things that way, then he commits more than 5,000. He grows into 10, hundreds of tens, and then hundreds of thousands, then millions, then multi-millions, then billions. It's capacity. The same faith you believe you use for 1 billion is the same faith you use for 50,000. It's the same. You exercise the same faith in God. So if you can believe for 50,000, it also means that you can see God in entirety and believe for a billion. A billion, because that you have capacity to manage it. Not a secondary school student believing for 1 billion. For what? If you are God, will you give him? No. Jesus established that principle, Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in little things, more will be committed into their hands. Can we just pray in tongues? Just pray. Say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated unto you. Take my moment. That may be a prayer point you want to pray this morning. Take my moment. Take my day. Let it be useful for your praise. Lord, thank you. Thank you. There's so much selfishness in your world, but I'm committing myself again this morning. That, Lord, what you have given me, my career path, my business enterprise, my relationship, my skill, my talent, is all yours. And I owe it all to you. And thank you for the great opportunities that is coming my way this week. I want you to just pray that prayer again. My great opportunity, the heart is yours and the fullness thereof. You know my way, so you will order my steps aright this week. Thank you for opportunities that are coming my way. Thank you for pending things last week, but I'm receiving your go ahead this week. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we say thank you today. Lord, we say thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,